right. Well, welcome, everybody. It's, I don't know how many of these CLLC meetings we've had, but this is probably the 18th or the 20th or the 20-somethingth. And especially pleasing for me tonight because two of my great partners are here, Peter Scantrino, who's the president of our Southeast Asia Foundation, and who presented last month is here. And now you finally get a chance to meet Mizuki, who will present here in just a couple of minutes. And Mizuki, just meet the crowd.
Hello, everyone.
I know, Peter, you recognize perhaps half of these people at least from your travels in Cambodia. And I'm hoping, Mizuki, that we'll be able to get you introduced to some of these people face to face one of these days also. But Mizuki has got this new son who's keeping her pretty busy, almost full-time, that plus your job. And how old is Dominic now?
He is 16 months now, so not so new, but still new.
That isn't quite so new, yes. And he's, I know he's walking, but he must be running by now, too.
He is definitely walking really fast. So if you hear him screaming, I apologize ahead of time.
All right, well, we've had kids around in these meetings before, so that'll be just fine. Well, I'm going to get us going here. I don't see any new arrivals, and I'll let them in when they appear. But Mizuki, we're not only very pleased that you're here, but we're really looking forward to your presentation because over a series of many of our workshops with the CLLC, Peter and I and others have talked about the importance of employee engagement and having people really connected with and feeling passionate about their work. So I think that your topic is very timely for us. And without further ado, I'm going to invite you to do screen sharing and take it from here, Mizuki.
Sounds great. Thank you, Bill. Let me see. Can everyone see my screen?
You bet.
Great. Perfect. Well, we'll get started. I'm really excited to talk about this topic, employee engagement, but more importantly, I'm really excited to join this meeting. I've been telling Bill I've been wanting to join this meeting, and unfortunately with my son, like he said, it's been a little bit challenging to join, but here I am. So hopefully this will just be the beginning. But a little bit about myself. My name is Mizuki Asano-Lexton. I am the board member at Southeast Asia Foundation. My background is also in organizational behavioral science, and I've done work around employee engagement, performance management, organization development at a for-profit organization in US. And currently I'm a people analytics and workforce strategy at Facebook. So that's a little bit about myself. And again, I'm excited to talk about employee engagement today, which is a part of the continuous improvement process that Peter touched on last month, I believe. Let's get started. So before I jump into the content, I wanted to start out with this story about St. Paul Cathedral in London. I don't know if any of you know St. Paul Cathedral, but it's a gorgeous, gorgeous cathedral that was built in 17th century. And this story has been told in many different ways, but I think it's also a very valuable story to tell in this context. So it's really a story about an architect who built this cathedral, Christopher Wren. When the cathedral was being built, he wanted to go visit how things were going. And he walked by the cathedral. There were three workers essentially building bricks to build the foundation and layer of the cathedral. There's three men, one bricklayer kind of hunching over and kind of a little bit in an angry way, trying to put the bricks together. Second man, also a bricklayer, he's standing and just diligently putting the bricks one by one. And then there's a third man who's also bricklaying, but he just seems to be standing a lot taller than the other two men and just really happily building this building. So Christopher asks the first bricklayer, you know, what are you doing? And then the first hunchback, you know, bricklayer answered kind of with an attitude, you know, like, I'm building a bricklayer, can't you tell? And Christopher said, okay. He walked over to the second man and he said, what are you doing? And second man answers, I'm building a wall. You see, I'm a bricklayer and I need this job in order to provide for my family. And Christopher said, okay. And then he walks over to the third bricklayer and he asked the same question, what are you doing? And the third bricklayer answered with a very proud face that I'm building a cathedral and this is going to be the greatest cathedral ever. And he actually claims that he's a cathedral builder, not a bricklayer. And Christopher thought this interaction was very interesting. And I think this story is very relevant because all three bricklayers are doing exact same jobs. They're doing the exact same tasks, but their outlook is very different. You know, the first one doesn't want to even be there. He's just doing what he's told. A second one, you know, he's doing a great job, but he's just treating it as it's a job. And for the third bricklayer, he was just very engaged and he was just, he found the value in what he was doing. And he was very much connected to mission and the value of his job. So I wanted to tell this story to kind of give you a little bit of preview into employee engagement and what that could mean to the person doing the job. So let's get started. And I also want to share this quote by Jack Welch, who is the former CEO of General Electric. No company, small or large, can win over a long run without energized employee who believes in the company's mission and understand how to achieve it. This is a very important quote, I think, because no matter the size of your organization, no matter if it's for profit, nonprofit, you know, type of work you do, at the end of the day, work is done by people. And people are the biggest asset in an organization. And it's important that people are engaged in the work that they are doing. So what is an employee engagement? I'll start by telling you what employee engagement isn't. So it's not simply about happiness. Someone who might be happy at work doesn't mean that they're necessarily working hard or productively on behalf of the organization. So I may go to work every day being happy because all my friends are there and I can socialize, but it doesn't mean I like the work I do, or it doesn't mean I find value in the work that I do. Employee engagement also isn't about just satisfaction. So satisfaction, employee might do the work, but they don't go extra. They don't go above and beyond. So they might just do the work, 5 o'clock comes around and they go home. Or better, you might be, you know, doing the job and then another person calls and give you another job opportunity and you just might take it because it's just the job, right? Well, this is what employee engagement looks like. So employee engagement is more about emotional commitment individual employee has to the organization, to its goals. So it includes things like extent to which people commit to something or someone in organization. So again, they find a value in the mission of the organization. Think about the third bricklayer. You know, he understood the vision of building a cathedral. To him, it wasn't just a job. To him, it was building this great cathedral that's gonna stand for centuries and centuries. And it's also about employee discretionary effort. And what that means is going above and beyond. So this would look something like if you were a teacher at a school, you might just go to school to teach students, but if you had discretionary effort, it could be that, you know, you're teaching at a more not so wealthy neighborhood and kids might not have books and teachers go out on their own to go buy books for them, not because somebody told them, not because they had to, but because they wanted to and they really found value in educating those kids. So it's more about going that extra mile, not because for the money or the profit for yourself, but it really is about achieving those value because you believe in it. And also it's about how long you stay at an organization as a result of the commitment. This is pretty easy to understand, but you know, if you believe in the value of the organization, it's really part of who you are. And employee retention is one of the challenges a lot of the nonprofit organizations have because the work is not easy. So it's very important the employee is committed to the work that they're doing. So employee satisfaction is more about what employee gets versus employee engagement is more about what employee gives back to the organization. That said, so employee engagement in practice, what that would look like, you will see high degree of job ownership. You'll see pride in the organization. You'll also see belief in the work that they do, involvement with their work, enthusiasm. Like you saw on the third bricklayer, he was just happy to do what he was doing. High degree of commitment to the organization. And I think I myself has been in a position where I was engaged or not engaged, and it really does make a difference. And I think one of the key things we forget about employee engagement is not only good for the organization, but it's also good for the individual who are engaged, because you know we're at work a lot. We put a lot of our time and effort into what we do every day. So it's really important that you find value in what you're doing. And I think a lot of that relates to most everyone on this call, why NGO needs engaged employee. But it's also important to know that organization with engaged employees are more productive. A lot of the work that all of you are doing is very valuable work. But like I said earlier, it's a very difficult job to do. It's important that employees understand the value in it and they believe in the work that you're doing. See less employee turnover. There's quite a bit of turnover in NGO world. So again, it's a way to help employee be part of your organization and not just a worker. And high level customer satisfaction. There's been research done that talks about specifically in nonprofit organization, how employee engagement ties directly to increasing funds for the organization, increasing satisfaction, growth of the membership. So there's a lot of value in really spending more effort around employee engagement. So I talked a lot for a little bit. So let me take a moment based on everything that I just went through. Love for all of you to spend a few minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes or so with a self-reflection. So I want you to think about the work you've done in the past and the time you felt most engaged at work. Think about what that looked like, what situation really contributed to how you feel. And just jot it down. I'm not gonna ask anyone to share yet. So just think about it for a minute before we move on into talking about what the employee engaged environment looks like. Let's spend a few minutes, and Bill, keep me honest on if it's been a few minutes.
I will call you at 2 minutes, Mizuki. Two minutes always feels like a long time when it's What a such a silence period, but that was your 2 minutes.
Thank you.
And we just had Shiv Long is joining us, so he's just coming into the group.
Perfect. Welcome.
Back to you, Mizuki.
Thank you. I was thinking the exact same thing, though. 2 minutes feels very long. But I do think these type of self-reflection is important because I feel like engagement is something all of us can relate to, whether it's in your own life or, you know, the people that you lead, the team you work with. So keep this. Oh, no problem.
We've got it.
Okay. So keep those notes for yourself for now. As we talk about, you know, then how do we create these environment that allows employees to feel engaged, your teams to feel engaged. Keep those to yourself. And at the end, let me know if there are anything that you came up with that we didn't talk about. This is certainly not a comprehensive list of how to create an engaged workforce. I think that could lead to a rich conversation as well. So let's talk about creating an engaging environment. So one of the important thing in creating employee engagement, engaging environment is leaders. Sorry, something was showing on my screen. I didn't want to make sure that it wasn't showing on your end. So leaders really do help create the culture of engagement. Oftentimes leaders really model the way and people on your team, people in your organization really look up to you, and you really do set the tone for a culture of your organization. So a couple things that we bulleted out that we think are important and also based on research, making sure that you hire a qualified employee. And what that means is finding the right fit for the role that you are. There are things that, you know, if the job is too difficult for them, too easy for them, it's not what they want to do, it's going to be certainly harder to get those employees engaged. So make sure you're hiring qualified employee for the job or for the role that you're trying to fill. Show that the leaders care about each employee. We are people. We want to be cared for. We want to work with people. We don't want to work with machines. So it's really important that we treat each other with respect and care. Provide opportunities to perform well at challenging work. One of the things we know a little bit about motivation is that it's important for us to stretch a little bit. It's important for us to try different things. It's really important for us to continue learning. Most of us likes to learn. Most of us likes to continue developing yourself. So part of creating an engaged workforce is about creating those opportunities to perform challenging work. Offer recognition and positive feedback and employee contribution on an ongoing basis. Feedback is a key important aspect, but recognition is also very important. And what that means is, you know, simply saying thank you or giving some sort of recognition when somebody contributed in some way. It not only allows people to feel appreciated, but it also allows them to know what they did well so they can do more of. Provide personal support for each employee. Similar to the earlier point about care, people want to work in an environment that is positive and nurturing and caring. Show each employee a link between the work you do and the success of the organization. Part of leader's job really is to lead and provide those vision for the people to follow. And more you can connect each individual's role to the organization's goals and its mission, you really feel like you are contributing to part of the goal, part of larger thing outside of the role that you're doing. Again, going back to the cathedral story, the third bricklayer seeing the bigger vision of building a cathedral and not just layering bricks. That's a really important key message in that story, is that you really see the bigger picture and not get too caught up on the day-to-day tasks, but your individual goals are tied with the organization in some way. And that's something that leaders can certainly help do. Give opportunities for growth and development on the job. Again, this is more about ongoing learning, ongoing development, and it doesn't have to be a big learning. It could be little things, but what are some of the things that people are interested in that they want to continue building on? That's a very important thing that we often talk about in my job, is that employees want to continue to develop and grow, and how do we create an environment around that? So in order to increase engagement in organization, what's really important is that jobs are meaningful. It's something that brings value to each individual. Have a variety. So it could look something like switching up roles here and there, or job shadowing, giving people opportunities to try different things, to try and build their strength. Allow autonomy. So what that means is giving people more responsibility, ownership, and feel like they can contribute more of themselves, not just being told what to do. So a lot of the times people like to be part of the planning strategy session, and they're giving the framework of what they need to achieve, but they have the autonomy in terms of how to achieve it, or they can be creative around the work that they do and how to achieve that end goal. The final piece I want to mention is including coworker support. So I think many of us have friends at work. Many of us like the people we work with. And that's an important part of engagement too. It's being part of the community. I think CLLC is a great example. It's about the community and the people you work with. We want to be surrounded by the people we like. So that's an important piece too. So how do we create an environment that has a strong moral, strong support for coworkers? And another thing I do want to talk about in terms of employee engagement is, this is great, you know, I understand how to build an engagement culture, but how do you know where I'm at, or what am I supposed to do with it? So oftentimes in my role in the past, what we've done in the past is measuring engagement, because if we don't know where we are at, we don't know what we need to work on. So today I wanted to share some resources in terms of how do we measure engagement, what are we going to do about it, and what are some examples. And again, this is just one example to share with you. There are resources that I link to this PowerPoint, but I'm also happy to talk more about it one-on-one if anybody's interested in talking more about measuring engagement. So one of the ways you can measure engagement is through a questionnaire or survey. There's a lot of resources out there. I'm providing 10 questions here, but there's a lot of tools that you can use, or it could be, it doesn't have to be an online tool. It could also be a paper tool, however that works best for your organization. But I would recommend for those survey questions is to have 5 rating scale. So from 1 strongly disagree all the way to strongly agree. This is just going to help you interpret your survey responses better. And here's an example of what the survey question looks like. So 10 questions, very simple. I am proud to work for my NGO. I would recommend my NGO. That's an anchoring question. That's something that would help you understand engagement. And the questions that you see at the bottom, things like, my NGO inspires me to do my best work. My job gives me a chance to grow and develop. You'll see some of the concept we talked about earlier is built into these questions. And I like this set of questions because it's a very simple question, but it's also a very actionable question. But it's not so specific that it's gonna open up more rich conversation after the survey. Another one that's important is, you know, I find my personal meaning and fulfillment in my work. My supervisor takes a personal interest in me. I'm not gonna go through every question, but you kind of get the gist of it. It talks about the organization. It talks about your alignment with your goals with the organization, the person you work with, your boss. And these are important, all important aspects of employee engagement. And what you do with the survey is the most important part of measuring the survey. So before you get to the results, some of the things you want to consider is, did a lot of people complete the survey? Let's say you asked 100 people to complete a survey, only 2 people responded. Your response is probably not going to be representative of the whole group. I put 90% here, but depending on your size of your organization, you can probably get a good sample based on what you think is right and make judgment call in terms of how you want to interpret the results. For each surveys, because the example I shared was 10 questions, if you add up the question, you'll get the total score. And because of we're using rating scale 1 to 5, the lowest possible question or answer would be 10. The highest possible score will be 50. And the way you can interpret the results is you can average all the total, and you can also average by questions. segment the questionnaire based on the groups that you're interested. Maybe you're interested in seeing results by group A versus group B. So there's a lot of things you can do with the results by understanding it. But the point of the survey is to help you identify area that you're doing well in terms of employee engagement and the areas that you might want to work on, or something that you're hearing from your team or your employees that they want you to work on. Another thing that's not on here that engagement survey work I've done in the past that was really important is based on the question you ask in a survey, you're also sending a message to those people. These are things that's important to our organization. So it's a form of communication as well, and sharing with them that what your values are, what the organization cares about most, and then employees will respond, and it becomes more of a two-way conversation in that sense. So one way to interpret results, this is on the scale. You can start to see, you know, the very highly engaged versus highly disengaged. So you can average out the score and see where you fall and see what areas you want to work on. Sometimes it's really difficult to move the needle. If somebody's completely disengaged, they might be already 1 foot out the door, and that's okay. I think where you have the most opportunity to do something about is more in this middle ground, moderate degree of engagement to low degree of engagement, because they're a little bit unsure. So if you tap in a little bit deeper into why they feel the way they do, it's going to help you understand the challenges, and you might be able to take actions on it in order to create more engaged workforce. This is one thing I wanted to share that I've used in the past, and ignore the reference to dashboard. It's not important for this conversation, but it's an important model that I've always liked using. So after the survey, what happens? And it's the framework of what, why, and how. So what is about looking at the survey results, understanding the survey results in terms of numbers, and sharing back to your employees that this is what we heard. And that's one key message, telling everyone that, you know, we asked for your feedback, you provided feedback, we heard you. And then you move on to the why stage. Why stage is going beyond what the survey answer says and really digging deeper. So now from the survey, you've highlighted areas that are challenging. Maybe you can have a secondary conversation with your team to better understand why do they feel the way they do. Because simple survey is not going to answer all those questions for you, but it's going to allow you to highlight the areas you need to work on, and then important conversation can follow that. And then how is about, based on understanding what and why, what actions will you take? And how is very important in terms of the action, because you also want to involve your employees in your conversation on actions. So oftentimes employee engagement is thought as something leaders have to do on their own, but it's really not. If you allow the conversation to happen, you can come up with solutions together. And that will actually allow you to be more creative and really get at the root of the problem or root of the challenge the employees might be facing. So I just wanted to share this as a resource. The VOICES is just an acronym that we came up with for the organization I worked for at that time, but it resonated with the leaders and employees. So try it out. Again, if you want to talk more about it some other time, please let me know. So creating action plan is the most important thing about asking survey. You can't just do the survey and not take action on it. We're committing basically as a leader to take action if you're asking the survey questions. So understand what strength and weakness was identified in your survey. What can you do to build on that strength? What do you need to do to eliminate those weaknesses? And then when you get to that how stage of coming up with your action plan, make sure it's very specific. I'm sure most of you have heard of the SMART goals, but that's one way to look at it. You know, this is just the three bullet points I added, but who's going to be responsible, who does what, by when. You can start to put a little bit more specific areas within your goal so you can really achieve it and move your needles that way. And repeat your survey again. I put 1 year as an example, but based on your organization, again, you can do this every quarterly, or monthly might be too much, but every other month. Make sure you're checking in with employees to understand where they're at in the employee engagement. And another thing to note about employee engagement is it's also going to fluctuate. It's not always going to be high all the time. It's not going to always be low all the time. So making sure understanding those nuances and having those right conversations, depending on where people are at in terms of employee engagement. So with all of that, going back to my point earlier, satisfied employee wants to get, an engaged employee wants to give. So I urge all of you to continue working on your employee engagement. I'm sure all of you do in many different ways, but it's really important that we tap into individuals' value and make sure that they're committing to mission and the value of the organization. And here are some references for the survey and some of the survey tool. I put a couple on here that's more of an online tool, but there are also additional resources that's shared through the Guide to Engagement and Commitment at the very top. So that is all, Bill, in terms of my presentation. Love to open up to questions, or if anybody wants to share what they wrote down that didn't really come up that you want to talk about with this group.
Well, this group will engage with you shortly, I'm sure, Mizuki. I want to be the first to say thank you for a very thoughtful presentation. I can see that you put a great deal of energy and thought and preparation for this, for which we're most grateful. Thank you for stopping the screen sharing. Now I can find all the faces out there. And sometimes this group is a little bit slow starting with their questions, but they know that if somebody doesn't ask a question pretty quick, I'm going to start calling on people. So we will leave it open to volunteers for 60 seconds. Perhaps someone would like to say a little something of what they noted during your
I have a comment, Bill.
Peter, jump in.
I am jumping in. As an NGO, you have an advantage over a for-profit organization because people come to your NGO, I'm guessing, because they like what you're doing, they embrace your mission, embrace your vision, and want to help you with that. So when you have those things going for you, when you hire an employee, you have made a big step along the path towards engagement.
That's very much in the same light that you and I and Mizuki tend to stay engaged on our mission and our organization, because
we
know we're making an important and profound difference in a lot of lives, and it keeps me quite energized.
I completely agree. And Bill, you mentioned earlier about putting presentation together. I honestly had more fun creating this PowerPoint presentation than I do on my regular job. And I think it's because I really care about this organization and all the great work everyone on this call is doing.
Well, there you are, a shining example of strong engagement.
And Bill, we created an organization that helped Mizuki get engaged.
There you go.
I would like to think so. I would like to think so. Now, if we could only get So Paul engaged. I see a hand up. Ariel, is that you? Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Happy to hear from you as well.
Great. I thought it was a great presentation, and I actually wanted to double up on what Mizuki said about recognition of your employees, about their efforts, of the little successes that we can always kind of celebrate. I think it's important. I wrote in my notes today that it's important to reward. I always felt rewarding your employees in many different ways, rewarding your partners in many different ways is the best way to kind of secure bonds and build these bridges. And it doesn't have to be something as obvious as like a bonus. Mm-hmm. It certainly helps, you know, if you can give something, you know, it's like you get a promotion, you get a bonus, you get something. But really, it's as simple as, like Mizuki was saying, thank you, recognizing a job well done, and doing it often, doing it in the middle of a stressful situation and then doing it again after the situation. There's nothing I think quite as important as doing that, not just to yourself. You know, I think it's good to be kind to yourself in that way, but to everyone that you're working with. It's like, thank you for this. You've done a great job doing that. And then even if you have something critical to say afterwards, you know, starting off with the recognition that people are doing a good job, that that what you're doing is important. I've always found that incredibly crucial. Just wanted to say that.
Ariel, thank you for that, and I would underscore it with one of my favorite books. In fact, I used to buy them by in a group of six, or even buy them by the dozen, and give them to my clients. And it was a book by a fellow named Bob Nelson. Peter, you probably read it. Mizuki, you might have run across it as well. But it was 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees Without Spending Money. And
to know
Ariel's point, there's a lot of ways to just appreciate people mm-hmm. without having to spend a lot of money. Just take good care.
Yeah,
and I love that you said a variety of ways. You know, there's just so many different ways people want to be recognized or appreciated too.
Well, I have a visitor. First, not a visitor, because he's going to be seen in this group in the future, I'm sure, Sambath. But I'm going to meet Sambath in Phnom Penh when I arrive there in a little over a week. And I was just recently introduced to his organization. I see your hand up. You're welcome here. And what would you question, or what would you add to this conversation, Samba?
Right. Thank you, Bill, for a short introduction. Right. I am Samba, and feel free to call me Sam for a short time and easier to remember. So I am the country director at Oscar Freedom Project. Happy to see Fiona, family face here, only one. And the race, I'm happy to meet all of you. Thank Mizuki for the presentation. I think it looks simple yet practical, and just give a lot of new thoughts to me also. I guess I just have a comment here, more like an interest impression, because I actually see staff engagement as the satisfaction and happiness in a workplace. But at the point when you raise that the certified staff want to get and engaged staff want to give, it's a kind of change the way I think about this, right? And reflecting on this, I mean, yeah, it is true that certified people want to get, happy staff want to get, I mean, the more and feel like, what can I get from organization? I keep hearing stuff, they want this and they want that, for example. And over time, sometimes I feel like there are a lot of wanting, but not so much giving. right, and your presentation just a kind of like, give me the key or give me a different thought into this. Maybe there's something I can do differently in order to really engage people in a, of course, a positive way and good for all the people and the organization also. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for that. I as Peter said earlier, all of your organization, you probably do have in because people are attracted to, you know, what you do already. So you already have that. It's just adding more to how do you then connect on more regular basis, you know, the value that they have to your organization. And happiness and satisfaction is still important, but it's not enough in terms of engagement. So thank you for that. Anyone else?
Of course, there's someone else.
Before Bill starts picking on you.
Well, I want to ask you a question, and it relates a little bit to the quietness of the group, that my observation on some of the differences that I enjoy between our culture here in America and the cultures that I work with in Cambodia and Thailand and Myanmar is in America, people are just willing to speak out and speak up. And if they don't agree with the boss, they're going to tell them. And if they might tell them three times just to make sure that they got heard. And what I experience in Cambodia is a more respect and more respect for the hierarchy. And the hierarchy could be positional, the boss, it could be age, it could be experience, it could be male, female, a whole variety of things. And Mizuki, much of what you're talking about here for engagement requires that interaction and requires that openness and connection, which you and I and Peter and Ariel, you probably had that experience also in the Western setting, is perhaps easier to accomplish than it is in an Eastern setting.
Yeah, I think there's an element to that. You know, I myself also having Japanese background, the culture is very different. So when I've worked in a company where it's more global and not so Western, even doing as simple as survey, the way people answer questions, the way they interact, or, you know, when we're given a survey and how they think about how to answer a question is very different. So I think there's a way we can calibrate in terms of, you know, how do we help people not speak up necessarily, because I think people express things very differently, but similar to the kind of the recognition, giving people opportunities to share their thoughts or feelings or how they, where there might be in different ways, and just offering different options to that, whether it's survey or maybe it's just one-on-one conversation, or if they're not comfortable talking to you, maybe it's more about, you know, building the relationship first. I don't think it's necessarily one way to do it. And I would love to also open up to this group to see if anybody has done something that worked for your organization or the team that you were part of before. And love to learn more about, yeah, the Cambodian culture as well.
Who has had an experience that they can share with us in this respect? Don't everybody raise your hand at once.
Mizuki, can you repeat your question? I didn't get the whole question.
Yeah, and I talked quite a bit about, you know, having those conversations or interaction and openly discussing, you know, what is that employee engagement look like for your group. But as Bill alluded, it's a little bit of more of a Western approach to do that. And also there's different personalities too. Some people just like to talk more. Some people likes to be reflect and be quiet. So I'm just curious from this group, if you've had these type of employee engagement conversation or type of the things that we just talked about today in your organization, and how what approach has worked for you in the past.
Mizuki, I was working with an American group, but the people were all really, really quiet. And what I asked people to do was to write down their questions, write down things they would like their boss to talk about, and put it on post-it notes. Then I read the post-it notes, so the boss would not see the post-it notes. So that got the group talking, and the fact that the boss was willing to answer all their questions made them more comfortable.
I like that.
An excellent technique, Peter.
Yeah. A question that you could ask your employees, get them together in a staff meeting and have them answer this question. If you could get me as your boss to do one thing differently, what would it be? That's a really powerful question. And one way I've helped make people comfortable is I ask them to give their answers to someone in the group. So let's say it's all of us and Bill's our boss. And he asks the question. He says, okay, everybody give your answers to Lang Sing. And he'll put them in a Word document. And then we'll share that with everybody.
That's great.
That's a way that it doesn't put the speaker on the spot.
Exactly.
They don't feel quite so exposed. We know we do a version of that, Peter, when in all these workshops, the good old days pre-COVID, when you and I would come to town and we'd do a workshop for a couple of days. And we spent a lot of time in table discussions, typically groups of five, maybe four, maybe six, but typically groups of five. And we'd ask a question at the tables, and the tables would talk, and then somebody would report out from that table as to mm-hmm. what the thoughts
exactly.
were.
Exactly.
Yeah. A part of, you know, the benefit of, I think, doing questionnaire survey is you can collect those anonymous feedback. You don't have to put your names on it when you share it out. Maybe you have a person that averages the scores out or whatnot, but you can really just add up the numbers. So we're looking collectively at, you know, the trends of the data rather than, you know, saying that Sam said this, Bill said this. That's another way to do it as well, in terms of allowing people to voice their opinion but not feeling so openly exposed.
I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and Lang Sing, you know I like to pick on you a little bit from time to time. You're my good friend. And I've been at your organization how many times? I bet I visited there at least six, if not eight times. And we have sat in on meetings with you and your key staff people, and even with some of your board members on these visits. And I've seen firsthand an openness and a freedom to speak openly, and for people to share what's on their mind when they're in meetings with you and your team. How did that happen? How does that come about at CCDO?
We you know, like we give everybody have a chance to talk whatever we want to talk and comment. And also even the leadership itself that, you know, underground one, I give the possibility for everybody to reflect with the performance of leaderships. And the thing is, we engage them all stage of even the project implementation. I always use it before participatory approach. Everyone to be in and not to be out. Especially, you know, when we start to design a project, we get involved them from the beginning, you know, from the design process until implementation and evaluation, and not leave everybody out, because we really need them. For example, when we write a report, and we really need them to give input to our report. But I have noticed what I learned from Suki is a very good presentation, and I do see that they give some tip related to the survey. But I have a question. So in case, I do see that you, one of the sentence you mentioned related to the stack qualification. I see here is part of the involvement, engagement, employee with organization. Sometime we could not do as what we want due to the, you know, the capacity and the knowledge they are in the organization. But it would be based on the level of them to the position. But any suggestion related to the, you know, for example, when we do the survey, and then 60% engagement and 40% or 30% disengagement with organization. So what is your, you know, advice to be that? And in terms of leadership, I also experience some of the staff when they work with us. It's very hard in front of us. They say yes, yes. They, you know, like they perform very well, but behind us in the backside, and they don't do it as what they promise. So, you know, as a human, I would say that as a human, it's very hard. If you manage a cow, manage a dog, then you follow very easy and tell them to do and they know it. But as humans, sometimes in front of they say, okay, we are good and, you know, they're good. Behind is different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to hear some advice and you experience to get engaged many, you know, experience mentality or something like that.
Yeah, and to your first question, so is the question more around if your team or employee is not in the role that they want to be, but they either are not qualified or they're not. Sorry, I just want to make sure I'm understanding the questions.
The question I was hearing was, if you got your survey results back and you were like 60% engaged, or which means you were maybe 3 on the 5 scale, how do you draw out of the group the information that would help you be a better leader and build and help them gain more engagement? I think that's the is that the question, Lengsang?
Yes. Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah, no, thank you for that. No, I think that's a great question. One of the things that survey, rather than looking at, I did say average out the total score, because then that would get you the general engagement, 60% in this case. But you also want to look at the entire 10 question to see where the strong points are coming from, where the weaknesses are coming from. That's going to one help you identify the area that you might want to look into more. And my point on actioning in terms of sharing the results with the people who provided you feedback and opening up conversation, let's say, according to the survey results, most people are saying, I'm not getting enough development opportunities. Maybe in your staff meeting, that's the topic you want to bring up and talk about it. But to Bill's point, if you don't feel, you know, the employee is going to be openly talk about it, they might just tell you what you want to hear. Another advice I have, if it works for you, is essentially creating a conversation group without the leadership team. So employees get together, you give them a question, let's say development, what would make you feel like you're developing more? Where are the growth opportunities? What would you like to learn? Give them a question, have them discuss with just that group with no leadership, so they're not going to feel like somebody's, you know, watching over their shoulder, and then report that back to you. And what that might help you do is go a little bit deeper beyond the survey scores to see, you know, why are people not engaged, or why is it 60% and not 80%? Use the survey tool more to help you identify where the challenges might be, but oftentimes in my experience, that in itself is not going to help you get to the true root cause of, you know, what's causing it. Humans are complex and there's probably multiple things happening. So having those follow-up conversations is important, but that doesn't mean it has to be done with everyone. It doesn't mean it has to be done with the leadership team. It can be done just something with just the team members, and they can share back to you in however you want. That's one advice I have. And to your second point of people saying, you know, yes to your face, but don't really want to do it. Again, I think it goes back to the earlier question of not getting to the true reason for it. Because if you only action on the surface item, they might say yes, you know, or they might even say, you know, yes, because they want leadership to go away, and, you know, they just want to do what they want to do. But truly understanding why people feel the way they do might help you understand, you know, what are some of the actions you can take. Bill, Peter, any additional thoughts?
No, I think you've covered that and nicely. And Lengsang, you raised a couple of good points, and we appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
And Lita, I'm May I see your hand up. Wonderful. Why don't you ask your question? And I might even have one for you also.
Yes. So thank you, Mizuki, for a good presentation and a good experience for me. So follow to the question to Wang Ling saying, I'm just thinking about the engagement. The engagement style is different way from different organizations. So if we put the wrong question, we might get the wrong answers. And my question to you, what would you do or advise if the engagement answer from the team mostly go to personal, not organizational?
Yeah, that's a great question. The engagement survey question, you really want to tailor it to your organization, what aligns with the employees, what you care about the most. Partially because you never really want to ask a question that you don't think you can act on, because people are going to think like that you're providing feedback, but you're not going to do anything about it. So people are going to stop caring. So really get to the question that one, that you care about as an organization, that you want to take actions on, and two, things that you already know that employee, it's important to the employees. Does that answer your question, Lita?
I'm trying to understand. Yeah, but I will study more about that answer. So the last question, Mizuki, do you think the engagement style that I'm using? Yeah, I'm telling you that every end of the years, I normally do the hot years improvement. So I ask all my team to sit down and give answer or feedback on what everyone doing. So do you think that style is not a good style for everyone to engage or to give the true answer?
So asking once a year what they're doing, is that the type of question you're asking?
Yes. That we want everyone to engage what can I say? I mean, to give the true answers for organization improvement.
It depends. It truly depends on your organization and, what type of conversation have you had based on the questions that was brought up.
For example, that we need everyone to improve the organization. What is the weakness? What is the strong point that organization should follow? So we need everyone to engage. We don't want everyone to miss out the opportunity. Yeah.
Lita, I'm going to turn the tables on you, and I'm going to answer your question with a question back to you. And I remember very well, so Paul and I spent, 5 or 6 sessions with you and your team working on a strategic plan for your organization, and then you worked that with your board of directors and came up with something that you seemed pleased with. Yeah. And in those working sessions, so Paul and I saw your team very much engaged in the process. It wasn't just Lita doing it and all of the rest of them saying, yes, ma'am. We had some good conversations. So how does that happen in the Kambu project? Why do those people feel free to speak out like that?
Yes, because we give them the opportunity and not straight.
Not threat?
Yeah, not threat.
Not stretch. And maybe not stress about it.
Not stressed as well. Yes, that's true.
Okay. So you create that environment where people feel safe speaking out.
Yes. so everyone feel engaged with the conversations. So thank you. I think I covered all my questions.
That's good. And thank you for your contributions. And I want to ask Odam a question. Odam, are you there so that I can ask you a question?
Yeah. Hello, Bill. Yeah.
Hello. And it's nice to see you here. It's always a pleasure to have you join us. And I'll say that Odam is in an interesting position at Build Your Future Today, BFT, because there's a transition going on there. They have a longtime leader, founder of the organization, Sedda Long. And Sedda wants to become more of an outreach and more of an ambassador for the organization, and wants to have his team become more involved in not just the day-to-day, but a lot of the more important activities within the organization. Odam is taking on that role, but he's come from a group of peers to take on that position. And maybe the issues of engagement and your role as you take on more responsibilities, but you certainly need the cooperation of a half a dozen or eight other people. What have you found works effectively?
Thank you again, Bill. And first of all, I would like to thank to
Mizuki.
Oh. Mizuki, yeah, and for your presentations, and I, as a young leader, I found this is a very good tips for maybe for me in the future to like consider of doing something that you have mentioned to get more productive or a good working environment for my team. Back to what I like to share, and from what I see, the gap between let's say Professor Longsetha, and then the way we, the team, or myself or the team, usually when we have a group conversations and discussions, usually it's not so engaged, from everyone, because what our culture and the way we get used to it from, let's say if the boss say that this is ABC, and then if you ask advice, so everyone will definitely agree, okay, this is ABC, but because, this is culture, and also we believe that, he's the boss and, he should say something always right. And then, but, this day, since I got, more involved in the management of the BFT organizations, so I get more more time to learn from our staff and our staff, because we are friends, myself and the team, we got each other as a friend. So whatever we want to talk, we talk, and then we just do together. The difference between Mr. Sedda and myself is, myself is get more engagement with the team, because I originally from their level. So they, we know each other, we just share what we have to talk. So then we, we do things together. It's something like that, so to sum up, usually when Mr. Sedda talk about the project, he usually get the core team together, and then me as one of the core member will go to deliver this message and then discuss as a big group. So then I will be the one who, you know, the bridge, you know, the, to share to Professor Setha and also the team, you know. So something like that, you know, I have, you know, we have been doing something, and then till now, and more practicing, you know, this day.
Well, it sounds to me like you're working in an area of openness. That it's okay to listen. You want to understand, and it's okay to have ideas, and it's okay to speak those ideas and talk about them.
Yeah, and that's right. Yeah, true. And also one we see that very important too when there is like a clear clear project work is like clear work responsibility. Let's say otherwise, let's say the staff, they're responsible on health, and sometimes you not provide like a clear work responsibility. So they will you know, it get them misunderstand, or like, I don't know how to say, like a work process gets slow.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they not, let's say for example, staff one responsible on nutrition and health, and staff two responsible on education for public school. When you get them to work, you have to make sure the person one get their working responsible job. They're not supposed to work in some one area, but that is the, they have to be very clear. And then if you want the team to work together, you have to have like a announcement in the big group.
Yes.
To say that, okay, we need everyone to help in this area or that area, not you know, unofficial sales to the staff or the responsible. I mean, like, I hope you get something like this.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you. Who else would like to jump into this conversation?
I think Sopal had hands up.
Dive in, Sopal.
Yeah, I just want to add a little bit, because in our listen, many of us here mentioned like we do the interaction, let's say once a year or every semester and such. I would say like the way that I work with Bill, or the way that I work in my own organization here, we rather do it like trip by trip to see what's going on, or project by project. That also to help people to remember what actually just happened and what we want to make adjustment for the next activity. So if we could record that as well, that would be nice. I think this is just my experience, so we can have people reflect on what really the test scenario that just happened and what they really want to make a change in the next activity. I just want to add that. Thank you. And I learned a lot from this as well, Mizuki. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you. And Mizuki, that's a great point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to double check with you on how's your time? Because I know that you have a little one that might want your attention pretty soon. And you're very good to stick with us in this conversation. So I just want to make sure you're not feeling any time pressure here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I unfortunately have to go pretty soon. I'm okay for now.
Okay.
As Bill mentioned, it's bedtime for my son, and he just likes me putting him to sleep. Apologies.
All right. Well, if you're here, and Shailan has her hand up, and Shailan, what's on your mind? Yes.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, I would like to say thank you and Ms. Suki, yes, for the sharing the great topic for us. Yes, I learned from you a lot of the experience, but and for the survey that our NGOs that never do that. Yes, but and for TGC that we have the field for the education. Yeah. for every 3 months, we have the observation class, yeah, for the all teacher, yeah. So that and in the evaluation of the observation class, we talk about, and then after that, we give them the result, yeah. We have the question that related to the student that they can, that the teacher, they can report to us that at what point that the TGC that they can have, then because then there's some student that I cannot send the report or send the homework or assignment on time. Yes. So, and sometimes, and the teacher, they cannot threat to the student. So at that point that we can have the teacher, yes. And for the our full-time staff, then we have if that I consult with the Lita, I mentioned that we have the yearly evaluation, yes. So, and the first that the staff that they can write that the evaluation by themselves, yes. But in the last point that we have the point that the staff can report that what point that we want to the NGO that improve, or what point that we should change. Yes. So that I am not sure that, and that point that is the engagement of the staff or not. Yes. So Ms. Sukis, yes.
Thank you for that. And while we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about two organizations here in the room that haven't spoken yet. Although we did hear a little bit from JWOC, but also PEPE. And both JWOC and PEPE are working with young people. They're teaching entrepreneurial skills. They're really doing some work that's centered around, based in critical thinking. It's not lecture, learn. In Myanmar, they call it parrot education. That in both PEPE and JWOC, your sessions are rooted in critical thinking in order to get these kids to grow up to become leaders themselves. Would either of you be willing to talk a little bit about how you accomplish that, how you create that sense of openness and comfort in speaking?
Hello, Bill.
Yes, Samnang.
I'm Samnang from PEPE. I just want to update your questions again to get my understanding your question, please.
Oh, the question is, when you're working with your young people, your future leaders in PEPE, how do you get them to open up and tell you what's on their mind and ask questions and get them engaged in the conversation?
For me personally, as I don't work directly with the youth, so I'm the social media, but I also involve some part of the activity. I think what I can see the PEPE does, like PEPE encourage students to talk like openly,
mm-hmm.
Encourage them to speak to, what they misunderstand, or let them ask questions to open mind, and they always listen and give feedbacks at the same time as well. And I also joined that's what I can see from PEPE, that always give students the voice, ask them questions if they don't understand, always incorrect to ask questions in the class. So
you respect their voice.
Yeah, you respect the voice from all the students. That's what I can see, even in the staff. If it is any concern, we always rise up.
Good.
And we also hear back from our leaders as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I, the time at PEPE, and I can see that everyone has the voice to say, not just his state. Feeling like if I say this, what's gonna happen next? Something like this. Like more people, they feel like they shouldn't say this. They just keep in mind and don't say that they want to say. But FFP, I feel like everyone just, even though you are not a leader in a leader position, you are staff, but you have an idea and you write it up.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's not a debate, but it's the sharing. What people know about the subject is not going to be right, and why we have read our voice, we have the reason to debate what our leaders say as well. Sometimes yeah. That's what I see at Pepe.
Well,
yeah, that's all from me.
No, that's wonderful. Thank you. And you know, I'm remembering back to Peter, the workshop that you and I did probably 4 years ago, and your definition of a leader, and it begins with creates the environment so that. Peter, you with me? Oops, I think he must have stepped away a minute. But the important point, and just picking up on what Sam Nang was talking about, is that the leader creates that environment where people have the confidence that they can speak up and they'll be heard and be respected. Peter, oh good, you're back. We were just talking about that's just a key element of leadership way back to our workshop probably 4 years ago about what does a leader do? It creates the environment
that facilitates the accomplishment of organizational goals.
There, I knew you knew the rest of that.
Yeah.
That was a pop quiz. But it creates that environment of openness and freedom to become engaged and freedom to express ideas and participate and to give. I loved your example of Mizuki about wanting to get from the organization or wanting to give to the organization as being a true measure of engagement. Well, I know Mizuki's going to have to excuse herself here pretty soon, so I'm going to give you all one last chance to see if there's any more questions or discussions on the topic with Mizuki.
I just want to give one comment, not for UP and to all the organization. You know, sometimes I'm still speaking the word that our college always asks for the good, excellent leadership from leaders. But please, they should reflect for themselves also that how they contribute back. Like here, the topic is engage them into the organization. You know, when the organization fall down or, you know, low or decrease the funding, they never complain about themselves. They complain about leader. So the engagement here is all together. The college and us all together, that we have different role and responsibility in the organization. So everybody must be, support each other. So I think Yuki try to use to give the presentation is want them to engage that work together for the organization. So without engagement is we can't do alone. You know, leader cannot go alone and college cannot go alone.
We all have a response. But everyone has a responsibility.
So how? Just keep in mind that how can you engage them? How can you ask them to put their heart, to use their heart to work in the organization?
Yes.
That is there. Just keep in mind that how can you engage them? How can you take their heart to work for the organization? Some people, I can tell, some people, they work for money. They work for money after they complete their assignment and then done. So So how can you do it? How can you engage them? How can you take their heart to be with us? Some people, you know, I give you an example about giving laptop. Maybe you don't know about the reason why that we give laptop to you. Mm-hmm. Why we don't give you desktop? Desktop, it means for someone who complete the job, you know, like the first part they complete and done. But when the organization, the company give you a laptop, it means sometimes you cannot complete your job at the office done. So you need to take some time others to work on that. That is one part of the reason giving you laptop. It's not for fancy, it's not for well look, not for beautiful, for working.
Yeah, Leng Seng, bless your heart. I'm going to use your comment there as the wrap up for this conversation, and say that we've just spent an hour and 20 minutes talking about employee engagement, and we're just scratching the surface. We're just getting a good conversation going. And that's one of the things that our CLLC group does so well, is shares information and participates. And we have pretty good engagement in this group. And so when we're able to travel more freely, this next trip of mine is going to be short and busy, but we'll have a little more time soon after. And Peter, I'd suggest that we could put together a 2-day gathering of the CLLC to where we could get lots of engagement. And we've got at least 20 organizations here today and more when we get the group together and start sharing these ideas back and forth among the leaders in here. And we can get even deeper and deeper into this good conversation about how do we build this environment of good engagement with our people and just keep getting better at it. Because
that's a great idea, Bill.
There's a wealth of information here. And I just called on a couple with Leng Seng and Odam and Lita and Pepe, and because I know they're doing a good job. And so isn't that one of the things we say about the CLLC, is we'll all get smarter faster when we work together and share information. Mizuki, thank you so much for putting that together for us, and lovely presentation.
And I do want to say thank you, everyone, for letting me speak and sharing your comments, sharing your thoughts. To Bill's point, I think there's so much I learned from all of you too. So I appreciate all of you, and I hope one day I will meet everyone in person. I would love to join Bill and Peter at some point. And this will definitely not be the last of me joining the call, but I would love to come see all of you in person someday.
And when we do that 2-day workshop on creating deeper and better engagement, be wonderful to have you join us.
Yeah, thank you. And another last thing to add on employee engagement. When I talk employee engagement, don't forget about your own engagement too, because you're also part of that, everyone that Leng Seng talk about.
Yeah. That's why I say, Leng Seng, bless your heart. You brought this to to an important point, that it's a two-way street.
Yeah. I try to protect the leader burnout.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another whole topic about leader burnout. And Peter's talked a bit about that. And that's another 2-day workshop, not a 30-minute presentation. That once we're able to start arriving back in Cambodia more regularly, we promise you more of these opportunities to go deeper into some of these subjects. Nice to keep the group together with Zoom, but it's no substitute for those longer, deeper sessions that we've been able to have